Commissioner Fritz likes to say now for something completely different. Item number 20, please.
Item 20, create a local improvement district to construct street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements and construct a mass storm traffic signal at the Northeast 42nd Avenue and Columbia Boulevard intersection in the Northeast 46th Avenue and Saratoga Court Local Improvement District.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. This project is made possible by a partnership between the City, TriMet, Cully Neighborhood, the Columbia Corridor Association, the Portland Freight Committee, and property owners participating in the LID, which stands for Local Improvement District. This project will reduce the backlog of unpaved streets in Cully while also supporting the creation of hundreds of jobs at TriMet's new Columbia Bus Garage. It will reduce both the citywide backlog of unpaved streets and of paved streets without curbs. TriMet has been increasing bus service faster than the rate of population growth. Since the last bus garage was opened in 1980, the region's population has increased 75%, but thankfully TriMet has increased its service hours even more by 132%. To continue that positive trajectory and to provide alternatives to the regional population driving, we need a new bus garage at which to park and maintain buses at TriMet's two existing Portland bus garages, which are completely full. This project also supports PBOT's Vision Zero objectives, providing sidewalks and a new safe crossing along High Crash, Northeast Columbia Boulevard, which currently has no signalized pedestrian crossings for a 26-block stretch, including the Northeast 42nd and Columbia intersection, which will be signalized. There were also some interesting discoveries made about the electrical infrastructure in the area, so we'll be discussing that as well. And after the staff presentation, I have three amendments to introduce. You should all have a copy of those in front of you at this point. I'd like to introduce Andrew Abbey from PBOT and Sheila Holden from Pacific Power to present on the ordinance. Welcome, and please state your name for the record.
Good morning. I'm Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator.
Sheila Holden, Regional Business Manager, Pacific Power.
Thank you. Council members, it's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. And Commissioner Hardesty, it's the distinct honor and privilege to have you consider this item. This presentation today is very similar to the one we did in November, but wanted to rerun it for your benefit. And once we get done with the presentation, then I can walk you through the amendments. All right, so this is a map of the local improvement district area. So this area is in the Cully neighborhood. This LID, rather, is in the Cully neighborhood, and it's north of Columbia Boulevard. The map on the left has changed slightly from November 7th when you approved the resolution. We have subsequently continued our outreach with property owners in the area, and we came up with an alignment for a new east-west street between Northeast 46th and 47th Avenues that has a green boundary shown around it there on the map on your left. We have shifted that to the north, which is more amenable to the property owners from whom we will be acquiring property rights. Just to recap the project scope, which has not changed since November, we're improving an unpaved street, Northeast 46th Avenue, north of Columbia Boulevard. We're constructing a new east-west street that was formerly referenced as Northeast Saratoga Court, and I'll be walking you through that amendment, but we now would like to call the street Northeast Bryant Street. We're going to signalize the Northeast 42nd and Columbia Boulevard intersection. So as Commissioner Udaly pointed out, we currently have a 21-block gap on Northeast Columbia Boulevard between 21st and 47th Avenues where there's no signalized crossing for pedestrians. We want to add street lighting, relocate bus stops, create a new stormwater outfall to the Columbia Slough, and want to partner with the Bureau of Environmental Services on managing stormwater in the area. As you may recall, for our returning council members from last year, this is the largest local improvement district in the city's history outside the central city. The amount of the LID is about $11.6 million. And I'm pleased to report that we received no remonstrances against LID formation. And my New Year's resolution is to try to use a little bit more plain English, and I'm not sure that everybody knows what a waiver of remonstrance is. So the translation of that is Nobody submitted a formal objection to the local improvement district in writing to the city auditor. So we not only have the largest LID in the city's history outside the central city, we also have no opposition to the project. TriMet has very generously stepped up on this local improvement district. They're going to pay $9 million of the $11.6 million, and they are funding elements of the project that are not required as conditions of development. So this is the picture that I showed the previous council back in November. This is what Northeast 46th Avenue looks like north of Columbia Boulevard. I've been receiving complaints about this street for 13 years. This is the north end of the street just before it gets to the Columbia Slough. And this is a picture of Northeast 46th Avenue approaching Columbia Boulevard. It's not a particularly safe left turn movement onto Columbia Boulevard. The sight distances are poor. So that's why we want to build that new east-west street connecting 46th and 47th Avenues. This is the Northeast 42nd and Columbia Boulevard intersection. There's currently not a signal there. We're going to build one as part of this local improvement district. You can also see that alligator pavement there. We are going to reconstruct that portion of Northeast 42nd Avenue in concrete because we will be having hundreds of TriMet buses going up and down the street once TriMet builds their new bus base. And this is an example of a concrete street that we built quite a few years ago on North Marine Drive. We built it in 1992, 22 years later. The pavement was in perfect condition with a 100 score after trucks going up and down it. So we're very pleased to build sustainable infrastructure that reduces our long-term maintenance cost. This project is located in the Cully neighborhood, which is our most diverse neighborhood in the city of Portland, but unfortunately has considerably more infrastructure deficiencies than the city as a whole. So we're very pleased to be able to bring this project back to you for final approval. As Commissioner Udaly pointed out, this project is integral to supporting TriMet's service expansion for the region so that we can drive less and take transit and use other modes more to get around. So TriMet, over the past 38 years, has increased service at about a third more than the rate of population growth, but they are now they've now kind of hit a wall because there are three existing bus garages, two of which are in Portland and one of which is in Beaverton. Are the two bus garages in Portland are completely full and they have no more room for new buses, so that is why they're purchasing this property and this LID, and we'll build their third bus base in Portland and their fourth bus base in the region as a whole. So I passed out some amendments for you, and there's three amendments, and I'll walk you through the first two, and then we'll have Sheila help explain the third one. So the first amendment just simply reflects that we had a formation hearing in December, and we had a crowded agenda in December, so we extended the remonstrance deadline and did not receive any remonstrances. We just want to note that in the record that the deadline was extended. So that's the first of three amendments. I'm going to skip over to the third amendment. So as I mentioned, we're shifting that new east-west street to the north, which aligns more with Northeast Bryant Street to the west than it does Northeast Saratoga Street. So I was advised by the guru who assigned new street names that it would be more appropriately called Bryant instead of Saratoga. So we are proposing to rename the LID to Northeast 46th and Bryant so that it aligns with the future street name to be assigned to the street. And then the third and the final amendment, there's always a new wrinkle on LIDs. Something comes up that you didn't anticipate. One of the things that I learned on this LID is something that we take for granted is that when we flip a light switch that the lights will come on. But what I came to find out is we don't have enough electrical power in this area to serve various expansions planned for the area. So we would just like to have the ability granted by council that if a property owner voluntarily wants to fund more new electrical infrastructure in the public right-of-way, that they can use the LID as a financing mechanism for that. It'd be strictly voluntary, only if the property owner steps forward and wants to do that. We just think it makes a lot of sense that if we're going to build new streets in this area, if we can also accommodate the new electrical infrastructure to do that at the same time. Sheila, do you want to add to that before council entertains the motion to vote on the amendments?
I just like to say that over the years, it's been a pleasure to work with Andrew on LEDs that are. Excuse me.
Not me.
Oh my goodness!
Not
I
me.
Apologize.
It's okay.
But I thought I.
You're not the first person to have this happen. Don't feel badly.
Or the last.
No, this is this is not.
You have T-Mobile, right?
Ouch.
You can tell by the sound, right? I apologize for that. But what I was going to say is that we're definitely been successful in partnering with Andrew over the years. And a prime example is what we had happen in the William Vancouver corridor. We were able to deal with the issues, the density and the right-of-way. We were able to deal with the fact that we had a number of small businesses that were located in the corridor who wanted to make sure that they had an opportunity to take advantage of the LID if they wanted to go underground in the area as well. And we were able to work through that with the existing larger developers and the small businesses so they would be able to have an opportunity. And that was one of the first times that we saw the financing tool being brought forth for businesses in that area. Pacific Power is going to be doing major capacity enhancements to our infrastructure to accommodate the new bus garage, of course, and other businesses that we anticipate will be coming into the area with the improvements. And so this is a great opportunity for us. We appreciate the opportunity to potentially be able to finance through, but we're looking more at this as also an opportunity to partner. Not that we'll necessarily take advantage of the financing, but we'll be able to partner going and putting together our plans for where we will actually place our new infrastructure. So I hope that the City Council will support this, and I'd like to say in closing, welcome aboard Commissioner Hardesty. I look forward to working with you.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. I have a question about the electricity. Is it the property owner's responsibility to upgrade their electricity, or is it Pacific Power's?
It's a combination. In this particular case, it's going to be some of it will be with the property owner, the customer, and some of it will be as we're doing it for the general area for us as well. So it's both.
So if in another area that's not a local improvement district, if a neighborhood wants a street light, who is responsible for putting it in?
Well, the City of Portland owns streetlights in our service area. And so, though we would assist and provide the power for it, the City of Portland, through the Transportation Department, would be responsible for the installation of the streetlight.
Thank you.
And the maintenance of the streetlight.
Appreciate the explanation.
Mm-hmm. I'd just like to add that I just learned about this amendment on Monday, and I'm very pleased with it. It seems like an opportunity for us to collaborate, save time, money, resources, and disruption to the area, which is great. But yesterday I got an update on the electric vehicle rebate program coming through the state, and in particular a rebate program for low-income households. And it got me thinking that we should be considering infrastructure for charging stations for electric vehicles as these opportunities arise. So not going to amend the amendment or suggest that we add that here, but going forward, I'd like to make sure that we're taking that into consideration.
Thank you, Commissioner. Maybe just on a housekeeping note, I might suggest for simplicity's sake that we adopt this amendment, maybe have a second amendment for that. We're going to have hundreds of new TriMet employees working at the bus base, and what I will certainly do, amendment or no amendment, is I will follow up with TriMet and see, you know, a lot of those employees, the mechanics and operators, get there before the buses start running, and so maybe there's a partnership opportunity here so that those TriMet employees can use electric vehicles to get
fantastic
to work.
Not directly related to this today, but just so that you know, Commissioner, Pacific Power is in fact looking and working with the City of Portland around right-of-way infrastructure opportunities for electric vehicles. And we actually have identified some sites of where we will be doing that. So great. It is something that we're actively doing right now.
Could we put this as a package on the amendments? Can we forward them as a package?
Excuse me?
Maybe I might suggest that we move the memo as for amendment for adoption per the January 7th memo, and
second.
Then maybe if we want to have a second amendment, as you might propose, Commissioner.
Okay, so I've moved it. We have a second. Any further discussion on the package of amendments? Call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Amendments are on the table. Commissioner Udaly, were you going to make a second amendment?
Okay.
That's all we have today. Just on a final note, while electrical infrastructure may be relatively new to LIDs, LIDs are not. One of the earliest LIDs in the City of Portland was in 1867 when we paved what was then known as B Street, which today is known as West Burnside Street. So if we didn't have an LID, we might be grading and graveling West Burnside Street. So thankfully, that's not the case. So thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. I just have one question.
I have one question, and my question is, this new TriMet bus station, is it going to have electric buses?
Very good question. Yes, Commissioner. We had TriMet here back in November, and it's initially going to have the diesel buses that they have today, but they are on, and I don't remember exactly what the time frame is, but they are on a time frame to eventually convert all of their bus fleet to electric.
I hope you can put some pressure on them to expedite that timeline, because we are going to be adding to the air pollution in that area if we're not very thoughtful about making sure that TriMet is not exacerbating the air quality issues in that area.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner.
You. Very good. Public testimony?
We've had four sign up to testify.
All righty.
Corky Collier, Frank Josiatis, and Maggie, please come up, and they'll be followed by Mary Sipe.
Very good. Name for the record, please. 3 minutes.
Corky Collier, Executive Director of the Columbia Corridor Association. I want to thank Sheila for reminding me to check my phone. Andrew Abbey's been working his LID magic in the Columbia Corridor once again. He brings sidewalks and bike lanes to streets that lacking them. He paves pothole-ridden streets. He works with other bureaus to laid down sewer and water lines as well as electrical lines while we've got the street under construction, and he gets adjacent property owners to pay for almost all of it. LIDs are a great deal for the city, and Andrew is good for the businesses that are paying the bill. He combines sincere caring for the property owners with good accounting practices to bring projects in on time and on budget. He's creative, and he's a tightwad. This project is no exception. In our first meeting with property owners, we had no objections to it. And we had virtually no concerns other than, of course, cost. Under a different manager, this would have been a simple reconstruction of the intersection at 42nd. But Andrew took a look at it and said, you know, we've got a terrible road on 46. So he talked to some of these tiny business owners on 46 to see if they'd be willing to pay for part of that rebuild. And they were. And then he looked further and he said, you know, we're going to be bringing a lot of new TriMet employees to the area. Maybe we can divert some of them across the new Bryant Street over to 47th, which is more capable of handling the load. And he pulled that off. He found property owners to that were willing to sell their property for that right of way. In short, this LID, in addition to reconstructing 42nd Avenue intersection, brings us new pavement to 46, a new connector to 47th. It's a great project. It's going to help TriMet build their bus garage, and it's welcomed by the local property owners. In particular, it's been welcomed by one property owner that's been shoveling gravel into those potholes for 50 years. These are expensive projects. They're very, very expensive for the property owners, but Andrew Abbey brings very good value to them. I encourage your support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, what I want to say is...
the hallmarks of this project where you go in and you consult with the property owners, they are afforded something that homeless people are not, and that is the right to be seen as a person before the law. And when you're confronted with an engineering problem, and transportation is very important, and how it's all done is very important, and how it affects people is very important. When you're talking about social services and lack of housing and things that impact the homeless, you don't consult the homeless to find out what's going on with them and where the rubber is not meeting the road or how they're affected. And Ted, if you do not know where I was Monday the 7th and what I was doing, you won't know what I was talking about, but I went up to your office on the 8th and I left a detailed record. If you did not, that was stamped by your office. If you didn't read it, you won't know what I'm talking about, but it's exactly this, where services are called and they do nothing, absolutely nothing.
So, Maggie, let me do this. I promise you I will read it. But this is about the LID,
well,
and you're testifying on
this is about
a separate issue.
Having a city project and consulting property owners who you consider people before the law. And I'm talking about homeless people who are affected by the services or that don't exist or do exist on paper but don't exist in reality, and just the dysfunction of that. And here you were able to work with the property owners. If you worked more with homeless people in terms of directly in conversation with them about what works and what doesn't and what's on paper that, you know, pretends to be there and is not there, you would have a more functional system. Like, you got this system to work because you consulted the property owners. If you don't talk directly with homeless people, you're never going to fix the homeless problem.
So, Maggie,
okay?
You might be surprised to hear, and thank you for your testimony, you might be surprised to hear I agree with you. And I do, in fact, spend a considerable amount of time meeting with, talking with, sharing, going to, and being present to understand the situation of people who are directly impacted by homelessness.
Well,
so I appreciate that.
I can, you know, if you read what I wrote to you,
my written communication,
you will see that services are called, you know, at the exact time and under the exact condition that are prescribed, and they do absolutely nothing.
Okay, I look forward to reading it. I appreciate your input. Thank you, Maggie. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Frank DeZadis. I work for Mackin's Auto Body. That we own a piece of property just west of where the proposed TriMet bus garage is going to be. And I've been working with Andrew for probably about 5 months. He's an outstanding human being. I backed the project 100%. And when you were talking about the electrical cars charging station, we'd be interested in working with Andrew on that. We're building a call center there, and we'd be willing to work with him on that because we are a Tesla certified shop and stuff. So Andrew's a great guy to work with, so I'm just backing him 100%.
Great. Thank you. We appreciate your being here. Thank you for your input. Thank you, Corky.
And Mary Sipe.
Last but not least. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Mary, is this your first testimony of the new year?
This, the first time of the new year, 2019.
Welcome.
And it marks almost 2 years that I've been coming here now. And thank you. I just want to echo accolades for Andrew. I'm a big fan of his. And when he has something on the agenda, I make sure that I'm here because it's always such an incredible example of how things should work. The presentation is detailed but understandable. It's not a narrow scope. Goes beyond the scope, looks at all the other issues that might bubble up, and I just want to say that I think one of the reasons why there isn't like opposition is because they trust Andrew, and they the track record stands for itself. And I just quickly want to say that I'll bet Andrew is the first person who will say. And also thanks to his staff. We often get an opportunity to express our appreciation to individuals that come here and do the presentations. But I'm sure that there's a wonderful, hardworking staff behind the scenes, and I just want to express my appreciation and admiration for the work that they're doing. And if you want to use a department as an example of how things should work, this is one of them.
Mary, I have to say this. Thank you. In our day and age, I mean, as we speak, there's people outside shouting insults at all of us. Andrew is an exceptional employee, but he's not unique. There are lots and lots of really good public employees who work for the city of Portland, and they give the best years of their lives, and they are passionate, and they are focused, and they are effective. And unfortunately, the way the world works today is we hear a lot of the negatives and a lot of the angst and a lot of the frustration, and we don't hear people coming in and saying, I really support what a public employee did for me or did for the larger community. And that you took the time to do that is something that I'm really appreciative of. So thank you for doing it.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to have the opportunity to do it, and I'll keep coming.
Great. And Andrew, as always, thank you for making us all look good. Thank you. And that concludes public testimony. Colleagues, is there any further on this matter? Very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading as amended. Thank you.